Hello?
Hi Teresa, it's Francesca from INS Law. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Hi. Regarding your application, so you said that you were worried about the fact that you didn't have any
I
documents.
don't, I, yeah, I don't have
No?
any. I mean, I don't think I was ever given official documents of any
Yeah.
kind anyway.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
I mean, don't
But
get me wrong, when I in my last care home, I was kind of taken down to a main office and shown the file, which was
yeah.
quite traumatic, to be honest. And then that was the last of it. I was told that I would never get to see anything ever again, and I couldn't take
Okay.
pictures. But they wouldn't give me any documents to prove all that kind of things happened to me. But it was all there. I don't know if they've still got it. It was quite some time ago now.
Yeah.
Okay, so regarding that, that's what we do. So we
Okay.
assist you then with your application. So we fill it all out and then we send it off to redress. And then when we get an application from redress, we contact then all the relevant care settings, councils, everything like that to get your
There
records.
should be records of me because, I mean,
Yeah.
the first time I entered care, I was under 10, and it went, and then I
Yeah.
was removed completely by 14, 15. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
No, so we should definitely be able to find
yeah.
something then. Okay. So don't worry about that. That's what we'll do for you, okay? But so do you have some time now to go through the
Yeah.
initial call and go through the application? So before we begin, so I just need to confirm some details for data protection. So would you be able to confirm your full name for me, please?
Yeah, it's Miss Teresa Louise Haxton.
And your date of birth?
It's the 15th of the 4th, 1978.
And your current address?
My current address is 5 Campbell Court,
Yeah.
and it's FK79EG, so it's Stirling, Stirlingshire. But that's not where I'm from. You won't find any records of me down here.
Yeah. So we'll get into all of that now. So I'll have to take some details about beforehand. So is it just five? Was it 5A, Campbell?
No, just number 5.
Just number five. And then the email I have for you is haxtonteresa15@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's actually my second one. Can I give you my main one?
Yeah, of course you can.
It's right, it's all lowercase, and it's
Yeah.
Reid, REID,
Yeah.
and then it's Teresa, all one word, no gaps.
Yeah.
And it's Teresa with a H.
Yeah.
And then it's o2@gmail.com. So it's readteresa02@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Sorry.
I'm glad you spelled it. I'm not the best at that, so that's helpful. Right, okay. So also, so ju we'd just like to add another layer of protection to your application. So we like to add a password. So if anyone contacts you regarding the redress scheme and they can't provide the password, then you know it's not us.
Not you.
So would I just be able to take a, so what would you like it to be? It can be anything.
Riley Rue.
Riley Rue.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Right, I'll get that added on. So just a couple more questions. So regarding that, so you said that that's not where you grew up. So would you, do
No,
you,
I my hometown's Arbroath.
yeah, so do you happen to recall the address that you were in before care and where you were, or
There was a few. I mean, the first time I was removed from care, I was, oh God, primary 3 or 4. So what's that? 9, 10. So the first time I was removed, I was with my mum, and we lived at Union Street East in Arbroath.
okay.
I don't know the house number. It was just Union Street
Okay.
East, and my mum's name was Diane Haxton.
Diane. And do you know your birth father's name or if it was a
My
father or
father,
anything? Yeah.
my dad wasn't involved.
No. So in regards to getting all of your records and things, would his name be on them or no?
Maybe as my father, I mean, he is named on my birth
Yeah.
certificate, but there was never any. He wasn't the man that was in the house.
Okay. So was it your mum's partner?
Yes.
Yeah. So would I be able to take both of their names if that's okay?
Yeah, William McCrae. He should be named in my records because he was my abuser.
So MC, what?
I'm not sure. Oh God, I think it was like M little C McCrae, Little CRAE or something. William McRae or Bill McRae, whatever he goes by.
That looks about right.
Yeah.
Okay, and with the address, so it was Union Street.
It was Union Street East.
Union Street East.
And then I was put back to my mum's care, and then we moved to an address which was 26 Wardikes Avenue. I think it was 26. And I was removed again from our care for the last time.
And what area was that in?
It was still Arbroath.
What was the street name again? Lord...
Wardikes. So like War Dykes. Just think of the word war and then Dykes.
There we go.
Avenue.
So do you know where... So before you were... The first time I was placed
in a foster family, and I actually remember their names. It was Anne and Alec Hamilton.
So before you were placed into the first care setting, do you remember the address that you were with your mum before then?
Union Street East.
It was that one, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then were you known by a different name then?
No. Always been Teresa Hacks.
Okay, fab. Okay, so I'll just add on that extra address just in case. So because obviously then when you went back, it might be under that one. Okay, fab. And then.
I was removed from my mum's care, like, officially.
Yeah.
And I was put into, oh, God. Right, so it was a little place called Strathmore Cottages, and it was behind an old folks' home, right, on Strathmartin Road in Dundee, and there was another children's home, I want to say St Mary's, right across the road. Now, I did see the name pop up on one of your redress adverts one time, but I didn't see it again.
Yeah.
But it was just a little unit.
Strathmore. Ah, yeah. There we go. Strathmore Cottages. So it's like a little unit, you said,
yeah? Short term because, well, to be honest, they were at that point, they were really shutting most of them down. They didn't really want you to be in the children's homes, even though most of us were broken and the last thing we wanted to be was in a family.
So, with Strathmore, did you say it was Dundee?
Yes.
So, you were in foster care, and then you were taken out, and then you went back into, and then you went to Strathmore Cottages.
Yeah, but I was there short term, and then they decided, again, even though I was stating I really didn't want to, they put me in a foster family. So they put me into a foster family in Kirkton in Dundee, which is one of the roughest areas. And I was with a family called the Pows, I think it was.
Yeah. And where was the first one, sorry, the first foster care?
That was Anne and Alec Hamilton.
And do you remember where it was?
That was in Arbroath. Oh, God, I can't give you the exact address.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. As long as we've got the area. And how old were you in that one?
I was 15 then.
15, so...
Yeah, I wasn't there long. Yeah, it's a bit of a shit show, it keeps going. I was there not even 6 months, and I was, to make it clear, I was very damaged by the time they took me back into care. I had a drink problem. None of it was addressed. I wasn't given any help for it. I was put in a really rough scheme, had an alcohol problem, I was raped. I also got the young foster son drunk, and obviously his parents weren't happy about that, so
they
didn't really want me there anymore. So I wasn't safe in the area anyway, so they moved me again.
So Foster, Strathmore, Foster in Kerr, where was that one?
So it was Foster, residential unit, Foster, then I had a sexual assault, and I had to be actually it was actually Charlie Mathers, he was the children's protection,
Where was the third one? So
The third one was, I can't even remember this lady's name, it was a little old lady that put me on in a place in Lochee, but I really wasn't there long because I ran away to my gran's.
Yeah, and where was the one before that one, sorry?
That was the one in Kirkton.
That's the one.
And that was Gordon, I can't remember his wife's name, they were the Pows.
The Pows. Okay, and was that 1996-ish? Was you 15, 16?
Yeah, about that.
So then
I was removed from there in another foster. All I remember about that time is it was a little lady that spoke to her budgie and walkie, and I ran away back to the dance. And basically what they did was they left me under all my sections and everything at my gran's, but gave her no financial support. So they left me there for a period, and then I went back into residential. So this was all about 96, maybe going into 97.
Yeah.
And then I ended up in...
And where was that residential?
That was originally, it was Strathmore, so I don't know what they named it, but it was the original unit that was Strathmore Avenue in Forfar, but it burnt down, so they relocated to Brechin, and it was the home in Brechin, and that was my last residential unit.
So did you go to that Strathmore? And then you were relocated?
After the fire, they were redoing it to, start it back up there, but then they ended up scrapping it. So I was originally meant to be moving, but it never ended up happening, and all the children ended up moving to the unit in Brechin.
Okay. So you mentioned after the first foster care, you were placed into those cottages. Was that Strathmore cottages?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And then you were meant to go back there, but it burnt down, so you went to the one in
Brechin. Yeah, they moved the whole unit. They didn't end up, I think they spent loads of money doing it back up, and then decided at the last minute they were just moving it to a town just not far away. But the whole unit, so they didn't call it Strathmore Cottages. They just, I don't know, they never really had a name. It was just the unit in Brechin.
And how am I spelling Brechin?
B-R-E-C-H-I-N, I think, Brechin.
B-R-E-C-H.
And all I remember out there is my key worker was Debbie McGregor.
McGregor.
And then obviously I left Brechin and got placed in the flat after that. But I was 18 by the time that.
Okay. So you don't know what it was named there?
Had an official. It was on Argyle Street. So it was just Argyle Street Children's Home, I think it was Argyle Street. Unless I've just made that up, but that sounds familiar. It's amazing that I'm remembering this, do you know?
I know. It's weird how it just comes back sometimes.
I know. No, it definitely was Argyle Street. I'm 110%.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if I can find that now. So it's just a children's home residential, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, if you can find Strathmore Cottages coming up, I don't know if the two might call it, because they're technically the one unit, but they just moved to Brechin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it wasn't Strathmore Cottage. I know the first place I was in was Strathmore Cottages. The second one was Strathmore Avenue Children's Home in Forfar. And then it burnt down and they relocated to Brechin. I wasn't there when it burnt down.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, I was just moving in after.
Right, okay. So we've got Strathmore Avenue, in Dundee, and then
no,
it was
Strathmore Cottages.
Strathmore Cottages Respite Unit. It was later, so we got the Junction Young Persons Residential Unit. Is that
the Junction?
It says it was later associated with the Junction Young Persons Residential Unit.
What, the one in Dundee?
So it was first the
Strathmore. It probably, yeah, it probably was because, well, yeah, I was there, what, when I was 15, so I don't know. It was just the wee
was
unit,
right?
And there was
it
was at the back of an old folks home, and there was St Mary's Children's Home across the road. I know that, because we used to fight all the time.
we'll just put children home. It was residential, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was Brecon. And then that was from Harold, so 1987.
Right, so I maybe was in Brecon, maybe on the. Maybe I was there before my 16th. Maybe I wasn't at my grand's as long as I thought. I think I was at Brecon by the time I was 16.
Okay.
And then I moved out, I think, either just before my 18th or just after my 18th birthday.
Okay. So as long as we've got the estimates, we'll figure out from there.
No, I'm talking shit, because I was in Manchester when I was 17. So I must have moved in. I must have moved in just before I was 17, because I wasn't long in that flat. It went to shit. They teach you how to cook and look after yourself, but they don't teach you about the silence and how, you know, because really, I was, even though I may have been at home most of the time, like, I was kind of institutionalised, if that makes sense. So I didn't deal with just being stuck in a flat, put on benefits and left it.
Yeah. Okay, so what we'll do now, so I'll just go through all the calls that I had to cover, so all the compliance info and everything like that, and then we'll take then some statements about your time in each setting. Is that okay?
Yep.
Yes, Fab. So just to remind you, so all calls are recorded for training and quality purposes. So obviously discussing experiences to this application can be difficult to set in. So when we move on further on, so if you need a break at any point, or if you'd like to continue another time, just let me know, okay?
Yep.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or any vulnerabilities that you want to make me aware of to add to the application or anything like that?
No, I mean, no. I get anxious and stuff. But...
yeah, that's okay. I said, just take your time. And if you need a break, okay, just let me know.
Yeah.
So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the redress scheme to you. I'll go through your options, explain how INS Law operates, discuss the funding and fees, and then gather then some more information to assess how we can assist you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse and care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us. So you're able
So is it just if you were abused while you were in care?
So it's like a case of if you were taken out but they knew the situation at home was bad and they let you go home.
Well,
that
yeah, I would say,
what the situation was?
Absolutely, because the first time I was removed, obviously, I was very young and I was put back, and then social work signed off pretty quickly, and then the physical abuse still carried on, but then the sexual abuse from my mum's partner started. So if they, in my opinion, if they hadn't put me back, I wouldn't have went through none of that.
Yeah, okay, so in regards to that then, we'll put a statement in regarding the... Not even that,
the level of physical abuse. I mean, see when my key worker took me into the Ardrove offices and showed me my file and showed me the photographs that was taken when I was taken into care when I was 9 or 10, it was shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, I was battered with one of these things that you put on the taps and it's like a wee shower thing, so it's made of plastic, and I was just covered in welts. And I just think, why the fuck would you put me back there?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Shouldn't have happened.
No.
Okay. So the first foster care was when you were 9, was it? Or was that when you were first taken back
out? I was primary 3 or 4, so what? That's about 9. Or
nine.
My daughter's 11. She's just went into first year. So, yeah, about 9 or 10.
Okay. And then you were taken out of that one, yeah.
What
And then
the foster care
the
or
first
my
foster
mum's
care.
mum? Yeah. I was there for maybe. Oh God, I don't know. My concept of time's not the best,
That's
but
okay.
I don't think I was there any longer than a year.
Okay. And then you were taken out and then went to the Strathmore Cottages.
Well, no, I was taken out and put back in my mum's care,
Yeah. And then.
and then left there till I was till it escalated at 15, and I had a rage and drink problem, and my mum was trying to kill me, and I was being
Okay.
sent away in lorries and abused. So, yeah.
Obviously, when you went to our first foster care, everyone was aware of what was happening at home and they let you go back.
Yeah, the sexual abuse wasn't on the table then because it hadn't started by that point.
Okay. So were you placed back into your mother's care after?
After I was taken away from her for physical abuse.
Okay. So. Okay, so with your options now, so you're able to apply directly to the redress scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme. So they're solicitors, so they're paid by the government directly for assisting you with the application. So
Okay.
under that scheme, they can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not. So INS Law doesn't operate under that statutory scheme, so we don't claim the government-funded fees. So if you
Right.
decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, so we're not paid by the government for assisting you.
So
So,
that would come out at anything I got back.
yeah, so regarding that, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing, and if you withdraw your application or our advice, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, they're capped, so you'll never pay more than 16% plus the VAT of a redress payment. So it works about 19.2, so you'll never pay more than that agreed cap.
That I don't know, my head doesn't quite function with that. So say, for example, you threw, say they gave me 3 grand, what would you get from that and what would I get from that?
That's a good question. Let me get a calculator.
Like, I know you're doing your job, but I'm like, am I opening my trauma up for just you getting fees? I don't mean that
So
nastily.
we'd get about, is that right? 500, and then you would get 2.5. I think that's how it works.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. So regarding the other options, so if you did it by yourself, so they would send you like an application pack and then you'd have to
Yeah,
contact.
that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And then with the other solicitors who work under that scheme as well, some take a success fee still and some don't. So it's kind of just either or basically. But yeah, so it's no win, no fee. So you won't pay anything beforehand. If you're unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And then if they come back and say, oh, not sure if, like, you won't have to pay any fees basically beforehand.
Yeah.
So it's important to make clear, so we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award you. So they operate on a discretionary basis. So I can explain that in greater detail during the call as well. So what we assist with, if you decide to instruct us, so we go through your eligibility to apply to the scheme. We gather and review all the evidence. We prepare and submit the application. We do all the corresponding with the redress scheme. We can advise you then on any offer made and assist with any reconsideration or review processes in the scheme as well. So if you're unhappy with the outcome, we can assist you with that then.
Okay.
So we'll also fully explain the statutory waiver warning to you if an award is offered and before you decide to accept anything. And it is important because if you accept an award, it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Yeah. And can I ask, does it work? Does this redress scheme work the same as, like, you know, how if you get compensation? And it's but there's a rule because I've got, I mean, it's not a major, but I have got a criminal record.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So regarding the criminal record, so they ask if you have any relevant crimes, so imprisonment of 5 years or more
No,
for,
nothing like that.
no, there we go. And then rape or murder. Yeah, there we go, you're fine. That's okay. So also, can I just double check? So have you had any communication or instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to an application at all?
There was a time where there was about the sexual abuse stuff, That's why I was really hesitant phoning this, because basically, like, I first off was like, look, am I going to again open this can of worms? I've not really got proof of anything. And they were like, no, no, don't worry, we do it all. And then I was told that I had to get a crime number. And I couldn't get a crime number, and it was quite horrific, actually, because obviously I was taken into care and there was the sexual abuse from home. But obviously when I was put in foster care, when I had my alcohol problem and that, and I was sexually assaulted in Dundee, that assault came up. So the police got really snippy, like, oh, what, so you've had how many sexual assaults? But I've got family that work in the police force in Arbroath, so I wouldn't be surprised if that man's name had been wiped off any kind of records. But what I will say is, it all came out when I was in Strathmore Cottages, so there should be stuff about it in my records.
Yeah, so I've had a previous client before tell me, so she went with another solicitor, and they said that she had to go and report the abuse to police to get a crime reference number for evidence. You don't need to do that.
Right. No, it wasn't to report it. It was because I didn't have the crime number. That's what they wanted me to go and find. That was, and I'm not going to lie, that was absolutely traumatic, because it just took me back to being called a liar and, you know. And it made
this one to actually go and report it. So
that's awful.
I said, no, you don't have to. And they were meant to come out that day, so she just called and cancelled. And I was like, you don't have to do that.
that's awful.
Yeah, so regarding that crime reference number, so that we'll do all that for you. So don't stress. If we need anything, it's our job to get it, okay?
So
if you decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while those cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yeah,
fab. And one last thing, and then we'll just go then into a couple more questions. So just so we're able to formally act for you as well, so we'll need your proof of identity for verification purposes.
Yeah.
So as to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So we'll need a copy of photographic ID and then a proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date. So need photographic ID.
I've got a driver's license.
Yep, fab. And then with the address then, any letter that's been sent to you in
I've got to have one separate. I can't just use my driving license for both my address and my photograph. Yes,
you can use it for either or.
Right, but not both.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
I made that mistake as well. I was like, fine. And then my boss was like, no.
It's okay. I'm sure I'll have a council tax or a letter from the husband. It's hard now because everything's online, eh?
Or even if you, like with a bank statement, download it and send over a screenshot.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Anything.
Yeah.
As long as it's got your name, address, and then a date on it that's after the 22nd of May, that's absolutely fine.
Okay.
But yeah. So, couple more questions. So would I be able to take the name of the GP surgery you're currently registered with, if that's okay?
The one that I'm registered with now?
Yeah,
it's, oh god, what's it called? So it's, they keep changing the names. It's Forth Valley Medical Group.
Is it Forth
Valley Medical Group? And the surgery's address is, it's Firs Entry,
so it's Bannockburn.
F-I-R-S, Firs.
Yeah.
Firs Entry, and it's Stirling. Bannockburn, Stirling.
I've got one here. Is it Bannockburn?
Yeah.
Practice, yeah.
Yeah, see, when I phone them, they
changes,
say, Firs, yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. Okay.
So it's like multiple practices under a medical group.
Yes.
Yeah, got you. Fab. Okay, and then, so we've obviously spoken about this already, but we're criminal convictions, so I'll take no for that. And then, so have you received any relevant payments?
I have got criminal convictions. I just didn't have murder or anything.
Yeah. The question is kind of brutal. It says, does the client...
To be honest, I got a PVG not long ago, and there's only one thing that comes up. It is quite bad, even though it's not quite true.
And what would that be?
Racism.
Okay.
So I ended up getting post-traumatic stress after I had my daughter.
Yeah.
And there was a really creepy shop owner, and I kind of lost my shit, and we got into it. And he called me White Sash and I called him a Parky and I got done with racism.
But he didn't let me go?
Nope. And it was okay that he's touching up little kids, do you know what I mean?
But so with the question, it says, does the client have a criminal conviction for a criminal conviction? For rape or murder, or received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years or more for a relevant violent or sexual offence?
No, nothing like that.
And then have you received any relevant payments before? So anything like...
Advanced
payment scheme.
When I was in care, obviously, and when I was sexually assaulted, they made me put a compensation claim in. I didn't really want to, but they made me. So I didn't even do it properly because I didn't want the money. So I didn't agree. I took the first offer because I didn't want it. I didn't agree to, add all the extras that they were telling me I'd get more money for because I didn't really want it. I was 15. It just seemed like a payoff at that point. You know what I mean?
It was
a compensation claim or something.
So a court ordered damages or court.
No, it wasn't. It was from. It wasn't through the court. It was to the compensation people. I don't know if I'm.
Criminal injuries compensation authority.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I think I got £3,000. Yeah.
Okay. So in regards to that, so sometimes if they class that as similar to the redress, basically it means that just might be taken off your redress payment.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
But that's a separate sexual assault because they put me in that bloody foster family.
I know. So what I'll do is I'll click no for now. And I will speak to my boss and figure out if it's relevant and then might have to add it on. But worst case, that money gets taken off. Best outcome, obviously, it doesn't affect it. But we'll try and figure that out, okay?
Yeah, because I would say my main points is obviously being put back, all the abuse continuing, then the sexual abuse. And then by the time I got put back into care, it was just a shit show. I was broken.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll click no for now and then might have to add it on later, okay? We'll figure that out.
That would just be my luck. Just be my luck, honestly.
Right, so also one more question that's a bit like, whoa. Have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses?
No, not terminal, lots of mental.
Yeah, so we'll get to gathering all of your records. So that classes as so the... obviously the effects it's had on you since, and that's a big factor within the scheme as well, okay? So we'll make sure that is included. And also with your application, so you can nominate a beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd get in touch with them and they would kind of take over. So you can add one at a later date or you can do it now, it's up to you. Or you don't have to add one if you don't want to.
To be honest, other than my 11-year-old daughter, I don't really have energy.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. So I'll click no for now. And
unless there was a thing I could get it put in a trust for her.
Yeah. So in some cases, so if you wanted to give us her details, obviously we'll do this further down the line if it comes to it.
Yeah.
But just in case. So in special cases, it usually has to be over 18, but in special cases, it can be obviously someone younger. Mm. So again, we'll sort that out further down the line when we get all your records and things like that, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the statement sections now. So just to clarify all of your settings. So we've got, you were at home, and then when you were 9, you went to foster care.
Yep.
And then you were taken back out at 10.
Yes. Yep.
So home again. And then when you were 15, you went back to foster care, and then, no,
stop, no,
foster,
15,
sorry.
Strathmore College, then foster care.
Then, so you're about 15 then, as well, or 16?
15, yeah.
Then you went to foster care, and then I've got another foster care, and then the one in Brecon?
Yeah.
So you've got Kirkton and then Brecon.
Yep.
And what's the one in between I've got? I don't know.
It's my grand's. I kind of got shoved in my grand's because I ran away from them. Yeah.
Okay.
But I really, now thinking about it, I couldn't have been there as long as I thought because, like, I was definitely 15 when I was at Strathmore Cottages because I was taken away just after my 15th birthday. And then I was I was in Strathmore Cottages because I was in Manchester when I was 17. So yeah, a lot happened in a couple of years.
Okay. So, foster care. Oh, 2 seconds. And then.
It's mental. Some days I don't know what I've walked into a room for, but I'm sitting recalling all this stuff from
It's
20,
weird how it
30
just comes
years
back
ago. I know.
sometimes. Yeah. And the same, so I can't remember where I put my keys this morning, but I can remember what I had for breakfast on my third birthday. It's like,
Well, I'm perimenopause and I'm not
what?
scaring you, but research that shit. Research that shit. Estrogen loss is not funny.
Oh, no. Right, about 19. Right. We'll go with, we'll just put 1970. We'll just stick with that for now. That's fine. Okay. So, regarding our statements of each setting, so regarding each of these settings, so did you experience any forms of abuse? So, it can be emotional, physical, verbal, sexual, neglect. It can literally be anything. So, in any of these care settings, did you feel like you experienced any of those?
I mean, not like, so
Some you might not think it's that bad and it was normal at the time, but a
I
lot of the
think it
time
was more
it's
like,
not.
even so, like, I was a bit broken and I had a raging alcohol problem because that's just how I dealt.
Yeah.
Like, I was being put into that environment. I was kind of opened up to lots of individuals that I wasn't used to. So within, and it
Yeah,
was
just
one
kind
of
of
these,
things you shouldn't have.
I mean,
Yeah.
and it was one of these, you'd get involved or you're picked on. So I was out stealing cars, I was taking drugs, I was, do you know
Yeah.
what I mean? And then obviously when I was in the foster care after the sexual assault, and I feel even bad for saying this because I fucked that family up. I got their son drunk. Do you know what I mean? But
Yeah.
it was not
But
pleasant being in the house.
no.
Their foster care training definitely did not kick in. And I mean, the woman was awful to me. She was like saying things to me like, "You've not even had a shower," even though I had a shower, you know.
Just
So
bullying and just making you feel just, yeah. Okay, so we'll work through each one now. So with the first foster care, so we'll go through firstly, so why you were placed there. So you were taken out of your mum's care when you were 9. Okay.
I was removed from, I went into school basically with a black eye, and then obviously the police and everything and the pictures and that, you know, they obviously did a full body inspection and seen the rest of the trauma in my body. So yeah, they removed me from school that day. I went to school one day and didn't return home basically.
So, okay, and then you were in that foster care for about a year.
What one Dundee?
The first one, yeah.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah.
I can't even really say anything negative about that. I was
Yeah.
19. What I will say is, it was pretty obvious, I would say, looking back, how terrified I was of my mum. I mean, I didn't even want to see her. Well, it wasn't I didn't want to see her, I was scared to see her. And
Yeah.
I kind of feel that was like they weren't looking at me or seeing the signs. Do you know what I mean? It was just like the process in the care. Mum do the things she's got to do, back in, and then social work sign off, and then nothing changed. It just went back to how it was before. Do you know what I mean? But I can't say anything negative about them. I mean, they were
Yeah.
strict. They were strict, but I was came from a household where I wasn't really cared for. So, like,
It's on the
so
side, a lot
yeah,
of
I
the, a
can't
lot of these
say anything
things
negative.
do.
It was a
Yeah.
structured home. It was probably the most structure I'd had, and it's probably the only structure I did end up having through the care system.
Yeah. So you're saying obviously you were terrified to see your mum, you were scared to see her and things like that, and it wasn't taken into account. No one asked or noticed. So you were placed back with your mum after this, and then.
And then I was left, obviously, because things didn't start going. But I mean, things were wrong at home. It's just nothing was picked up again till 15. But by that point, I mean, I had a raging alcohol problem. I was running away all the time.
So with the abuse that happened after you went back?
Oh, yeah. So the sexual abuse started. Right. So where we stayed, and then we moved to Wardykes. I must have been primary. Five. Yeah, do you know what? Now thinking about it, I probably was only in that first foster care about six months because we moved.
Okay. Yeah.
We moved not long after that, and I entered Wardykes primary, and I was primary five.
Yeah.
So that's still about 10, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or maybe I was nine. Maybe I was nine when I went into the foster, thinking about it now, because my abuse started primary seven, just before I went up to the big school.
Yeah.
So basically, I was maybe home a year and the sexual abuse started. And the physical abuse started, the mental, emotional and physical abuse from my mother started the minute social work signed off on us.
Yeah. One minute. So do you say the physical or the mental?
All of it. I would say the abuse from my mum was physical, mental and emotional. And her partner, it was sexual and grooming.
Okay. And then within a year of being home, you were...
Well, no, it was a few years. Well, it would have been about a year and the sexual abuse started. But things, like, didn't start escalating badly till I was 15. And obviously, you know, my mum was getting into it. And she knew what was going on with our partner. And he was a lorry driver, and she used to send me away with him in a lorry for a week at a time. But she told friends and everything, she thought there was something going on. And then obviously when I got taken into care, that was due to her physical abuse again. And policing of everybody had to get me out of the house because she was trying to kill me.
Yeah, so with the sexual abuse, so said by the time you were 15, you would experience the sexual abuse and you were groomed and...
Yes.
And in regards to the sexual abuse, so what, obviously you just share as much as you feel comfortable with, but what forms?
I mean, he never went fully all the way. He wanted me to want him to, and that was never going to happen. So it was intense grooming and manipulation, because if you can imagine, there wasn't much love as it was with my mum, so I was an easy target. So there was a lot of mental warfare. And then the physical, I think when I was about 11, or just before I moved up to the big school, there was an episode where I was on the sofa and he lifted up my nightie and he had his penis just like touching about me but didn't go right in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that is all recorded as well somewhere. And then we went on holiday to Butlins and he got me drunk, really drunk. And I fell asleep on the sofa in the apartment and I woke up on the floor to him giving me oral sex.
How old are you then?
I must have been either 10 or just going on 11, because, well, my daughter's 11 now and she's just sitting there. I must have been 11 maybe, going into first year.
So you woke up to it?
Yeah. And then there was another time my mum sent me away in a lorry one and he got me, it must have been just before my 15th birthday, because this is when it escalated when we came back. Got sent away and he took me at a pub when I was 15 and got me paralytic again. And this lorry, like, you know, I don't know if you know what a lorry looks like for a thing, it's got like a bed built in it.
Yeah.
But usually, like, there should have been like a block mattress that I would bring to inflate to sleep on the seats, but he always forgot that, or told me he'd forgot that. So I think the first couple of times I used to just sit up all night on the passenger seat, and then when he would wake up in the morning, I would sleep. But this time, because he got me really, really drunk, I don't think it went all the way. I was pretty drunk. He told me he'd used a condom that he had in the middle of his steering wheel, but I don't think he did. It didn't feel like he had, and I was sexually active by that point. Like,
yeah. then later on then you were...
Basically, we came back from that last trip and basically, I think maybe, I don't know if I'm... Well, she knew what was going on, so I don't know. But unfortunately, she didn't see it as a child was being abused. She seen me as some, I don't know, competition, maybe. I don't know. So I used to care for my sister quite a lot. So anyway, long story short, I was going out with my friends and it all kicked off and me and my mum got in it. And I think for the first time, I snapped and I actually went for my mum. And then I kind of snapped back, like, oh my God, what have I done? Locked myself in a bathroom, and that's when I got taken into care that night.
Yeah. Did you say that she tried to kill you at some point?
Yeah, she was coming through the door with knives and all sorts. But she got away with it in court by saying she thought I was going to kill myself. I opened the door. Yeah.
She came at you with a knife but said you were trying to...
She said she was trying to, she was just trying to get through the door because she was worried I was going to kill myself.
Yeah. And that night, that the police came or neighbours yet or what?
It was actually my abuser that phoned the police.
Okay. And then after that, you never went home again?
No, but... So basically, when I went into care, he left her. And he was coming up to the home all the time and, like, basically paying for my silence, if you want. He would come and leave me, like, £150 or whatever. But the staff clicked on pretty quick, something wasn't right. And basically what happened was I told a school friend, and when I went into care, she was working in a bakery with my mum, and things were said, and it came out about the abuse. So my mum actually came up to the home and she wanted me to come out and tell her to her face. But obviously I was still terrified of my mum.
Yeah.
So I denied it. I said it hadn't happened. I don't know what she was talking about. But then I broke and obviously it all came out and then the police were involved. And the police came out and then interviewed me. They were lovely. But unfortunately, 90s, my word against his, I was sexually active by the time it all came out. And they were nice enough. They told me that they knew he was the wrong one and they'd like, if he ever came back into the system, they would get him. But there was, yeah. They didn't have any. Yeah. And then, obviously, he went back to my mum after that.
Oh. Okay. So... sorry, just making sure I've got all the settings right. So is there anything that you wanted to say about the cottages, or was that okay there? It was just that he was coming in, obviously giving you money and...
I mean, they were on it with that abuse. I can't fault them there. My only issue was I wasn't listened to. I kept telling them I didn't want to go in a foster family. I wanted to be in a unit.
Yeah.
And they were saying that wasn't possible. I had to go into this foster family. And I really didn't want to, and I wasn't listened to. Also, I feel that it was... When I first went in there, I was put on these sections because obviously I had a drink problem and that. But nobody helped me. Nobody gave me counselling or tried to... They just put me on a thing till... I had meetings and then I was let off it and I was away drinking and everything again. Like, do you know what I mean? They didn't help me. They didn't help me deal with anything. They just moved me in a family that I told them I didn't want to be in. And then I got sexually assaulted because I was still, you know, practicing destructive behaviours.
Yeah.
And that man did go to jail for that. so.
Yeah. And who was it that assaulted you whilst you were in the foster care?
It wasn't in the home. It was in the area. I mean, this is a really rough area of Dundee, for a start. So the guy's name is Davy Walsh.
And then, so what happened there? So was it that you were just, they just let you get on with it? They let you go out, you were drinking, it was just like...
Yeah, there was like, I was on all these sections because it must be just the way they have to do things.
Yeah.
Because they were acknowledging, obviously, there was an alcohol problem and everything by the time they took me out of the family home. But the minute I was off these sections, like, it was just like, it was an issue when it was their guidelines, but when it wasn't, they didn't care. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, the drinking's not going to stop just because.
Yeah. So they acknowledged it, but they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah. And then it just obviously escalated because, like I said, it's dog eat dog. Like, you know, if you don't participate in sneaking out and stealing cars and taking drugs, then you're targeted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then after that one, then, so you were taken to the one in Brecon.
There was a brief stint with that little old lady. I think it was, I want to say, South Road, Lockie.
Yeah.
But I was there months, and then I ran away to my grand's, and then I was probably just there months. Again, my concept of time can be a bit funny. And then I was in Brecon, was my last port of call.
Okay, and is there anything that you wanted to say about any of those ones, or is it the
I mean, I kind of feel after, like, such a serious thing happening to me, the way that I was kind of just thrown about and then left in my grand's for my grand to deal with, who was an old lady, and they didn't give her any financial help, but told her she had to do this, that, and the next thing. But she wasn't controlling me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was a bit out of control, and I don't feel that was acknowledged. And then I was kind of put pillar from post, not given any help.
You went to your grand, was that because you ran away or because they put you with your grand?
No, I ran away from the home
after
the first foster family for the sexual assault. I didn't want to be in Dundee. I didn't feel safe in Dundee, and they weren't listening to me. And obviously they put me in another home in Dundee, so I ran away.
So, like you say, like being just tossed around different places, obviously the uncertainty and the not having a steady.
Yeah. And I almost feel like what had happened to me wasn't really being acknowledged properly.
Yeah.
And the damage, you know. And again, like, obviously I was already badly damaged.
Yeah. Okay. So, 2 seconds, I'll just write up these statements so it won't be too long, okay?
It sounds bad because I know a lot of people's experience as a carer has probably been a lot worse than mine. You
Oh, no, don't say that.
all these poor women with the grooming gangs and that were in care. It does, you know. I probably had it easier than
Doesn't,
some.
no, I don't, I wouldn't say that you've had it easy, but it doesn't invalidate what happened to you, okay? You can't let that. So we've got the first foster home when you were 9, and it was in Arbroath.
Yep.
And then,
I'm sorry, could I put you on hold for 5 minutes? So just a
yep,
couple of
no,
minutes.
of course, just take your time, take as much time as you need, okay?
Hi, sorry about that. Hello?
Hi, sorry, are you okay?
Yeah,
So
that's.
I said, just take as much time as you need, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here's what I'll do. So we'll just go through now the next stage, okay? So it's just to discuss the type of applications that we can pursue for you.
Okay.
So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level you suffered, okay? So based on the previous awards made by the scheme and the severity and everything you shared with me today, I'm pursuing the individually assessed payment for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the redress scheme in person or anything. So we'll provide a detailed witness statement on your behalf to the scheme. So further down the line, if you're happy to proceed, once we gather all of your records, we'll be in touch then to book in a witness statement with yourself. So it'll be similar to today, but we'll have most of the information already, and it'll just be a few more like localized questions, just to ensure we have all the data, all the facts and everything like that, okay?
Yeah.
And regarding that, it can be quite long and obviously daunting, but would you rather it be with a female colleague?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so it'll either be with me or it'll be with my colleague Leah, okay?
Yeah.
So I'll add that to your
Will
file.
you still be able to access my social work files? Because I'm sure was there not a thing after a certain date that you couldn't get access to stuff?
No, so they have to keep stuff on file.
Do
But
that.
yeah, so we will literally contact every single authority relevant, and we will
Okay.
get everything we can, okay?
Okay.
So is what I'm going to do now. So the next step is for me to send over the documents to you, but I just need to finish up writing up your statements, okay? So is what I'll do is, so that's everything I need from you today. But do you have any
Okay.
questions for me at all for the time being?
No.
No, okay. So I'll do now. So I'll let you go for about 20 minutes, okay? I'll just finish up writing up the statements, and then I'll give you a call back then when I send over you the documents. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Fab. So I'll go through the documents and everything like that when I call you back, but I won't be too long, okay? But
Okay.
just take some time for yourself, okay? Just look after yourself,
Yeah.
and you should be proud of yourself. And thank you for trusting me with everything as well, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Take care of yourself, and I'll speak to you soon, okay?
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.